Hi there, Good Word fam. It is Tisha. It's been a little bit, it's been a while, but here we are. Thank you so much for listening and subscribing and supporting and all that jazz. Joining us is Pastor Victoria Roliano. Did I pronounce your last name correct? I always feel like I mess it up.
No, you did
Oh my
it.
goodness. Ro
Riolano.
Riolano, Riolano, Pastor Victoria Riolano, and also author and mother of seven, about to be eight. Did I get that correct?
Yes.
I did. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So I'm super excited that you are joining us on the Good Word podcast. You have been on the show with your husband, and I think you all have been on a couple times, correct?
Yeah, twice.
Yes. So you guys are friends of the show, and you have a pretty phenomenal workout right now called Warrior Mother, which is your newest book, Equipping Your Heart to Fight for Your Family's Faith. I love everything about the premise of this book. And you have plenty of experience as a mother. I think you know a little something about being a mother. So tell us a little bit about what the inspiration was behind Warrior Mother and who and what is a warrior mother?
Yeah, so the inspiration behind this book really just comes from my own journey just as a mom. The beginning few years, two kids in, being a mom was literally the most overwhelming time of my life. I would spend time in my closet, like crying, trying to hide from the kids. They weren't particularly doing anything wrong. They were just being children, and I didn't know what to do with that. And so just as time went past over the years, developing my relationship with God, He just really started to show me that the more I would lean into prayer, the more I would trust Him with my parenting, that He would just start to unveil strategies for how to see motherhood in a totally different light. And so, just over time, the Lord really has become like the commander in chief over my life, over my parenting. And so, Warrior Mother is just an opportunity for me to partner with other moms who are along this journey, who are overwhelmed with the battles of life. And they need that courage. They need that strength, that resilience, like a warrior, to be able to fight for their children, whether it's everyday battles or whether it's spiritual battles. So that's kind of the inspiration and how it all unfolded for me in terms of coming to know that I am a warrior. As a mom, I can go through things and still survive. I can be strong. I can be brave, and just wanting to just release that same sentiment to other moms as well.
You know, I think this is so incredible because we've heard of the tiger moms and now we
Yeah.
have the warrior moms. And the warrior part of it is in prayer. You know, prayer changes things, prayer is everything. How do you inspire mothers who are already exhausted from life, just lifing, to pray?
Yeah, and I think for that, sometimes prayer is going to look different. Maybe you have a newborn, and so your prayer time is you pray for them as you nurse them in the middle of the night. Maybe you wake up early because you have a job that starts early, whatever the case may be. My goal to inspire moms is that they would know that God will meet them where they are. And sometimes we kind of place these real unrealistic expectations on ourselves that we have to pray for an hour, we have to read, our Bible 45 minutes, or we're not doing it the right way. And so I believe I inspire moms by just being like that heart-to-heart connection, saying like, I see you, I know it's hard, to kind of get away and have that time with God, but really instilling in them, even though it's hard, let's still do it. Because like you said, prayer is the most powerful thing, the most powerful gift that we can ever give to our children is to pray for them. So let's create time for that. I believe we make time for a lot of other things. And I know we can do it.
Yes, we can. And you talk in your book, Warrior Mother, about raising faithful children. How do you do that? I believe it starts at home. I am a mother and I pray with my daughter daily. but I believe it starts at home. But how do you raise a faithful child? We know God is faithful. How do we instill that in our children?
Yeah, so I believe that faith and our walk as Christians goes beyond like just reading the Bible and teaching the Bible to our children. I think we have to live it out. And so for me, if my child gets hurt, we're going to pray on the spot. If my child is dealing with a bully, we're going to talk about loving people the way Jesus loved them. Even while on the cross, he said, hey, forgive them. They know not what they do. And so we bring Christ into so many of the everyday situations that it's the foundation of our home. Even like the decorations are Christ filled. Like Jesus is the center of our life. He's the center of our conversations. Of course, we talk about other things too, but especially during times when they are overwhelmed, frustrated, we're going to draw them back to the word. We're going to talk about different Bible characters who maybe had a similar situation. And then also, like, just when it comes to reading the Bible itself, like making sure each child has a Bible that's on their level that they can really understand and be able to navigate through. So it's looked different ways at different seasons in our life. Sometimes we've done family devotionals together. Sometimes we've read with the kids, like those age specific Bibles. But truly, to me, the most impactful way has been to just do life with them and with Christ and kind of watch it all unfold.
You know, your book is written mother to mother, and that you talk about less about parenting and more about spiritual transformation. Why do you believe that this is key in terms of especially the spiritual transformation? How do we transform?
Yeah. So there's a lot of ways, but I feel like some of the main ways is changing the way you think, renewing your mind by changing the way you think. And so I believe that's one of the most important steps, because if we go into any book or even the Word of God and our minds are, you know, very defeated, we're already expecting, well, this isn't going to work for me, or I'm a horrible mom, or my mom wasn't that great, why would I be that great? Or how can I ever live up to my mom? Whatever the case may be, if we allow ourselves to have that defeated thinking going into any situation, including parenting, we already starting off on a bad foot. So I think that's the first thing. But then the second thing is also like having a very deep relationship with the Lord, making that choice to have it. And that may take time, but it's going to be very hard to draw our children closer to the Lord if we don't have that relationship. So my heart was that this book would be for the mom to be able to grow, to be able to know that God is with her. To be honest, this book really could have just been called Warrior Woman with a chapter on parenting, because I want to speak to the woman heart to heart and let her know you're not alone. We can overcome this defeated thinking. We can have strategy for our own lives, for our children's lives. And we could be warriors in our own right, where we don't have to live life like, you know, life is just happening to us. We can trust God because he fights our battles for us and he wins every time.
You know, you are a mother of seven, soon to be eight. So this has been a journey. At what point in your journey do you feel like you transformed, evolved, became a warrior mother?
Yeah, so I would say it happened when my daughter was around 4 years old, my oldest daughter. She started to have really bad seizures. And I remember thinking to myself, nothing's going to happen to my daughter on my watch. These seizures were grandma seizures, and where she was having seizures for over 20 minutes at a time. And there's, as a mom, like you feel so defenseless. But I think it became worse when the doctor told us, hey, these type of seizures can, you know, your daughter may not wake up if she has one of these. So I took that in my own hands. All right, I will watch over her 24/7, period. And that's exactly what I did. I watched her on baby monitors. She has special pillows. I spent thousands and thousands of dollars. I kept her in my sight at all times because I believe parenting was a me thing. And God maybe wasn't paying enough attention to her. And about 2 years into this process of no sleep, worrying, just being over the top, I prayed, I cried out to the Lord, please help me with this situation. I can't do this anymore. I'm deeply depressed, deeply anxious. And God started to show me, will you trust me with my daughter? I love her more than you could ever love her. Will you release her to me? And will you relax and let me handle it, is basically what he was saying to me. And so I did. I slowly started to, release the reins and let God do his perfect work. And to this day, she never had a seizure again. That was almost 11 years ago. And what was just interesting about that to me is it taught me, wow, like I can trust God. He's got this in the palm of his hands. And when I allow him to take control and I surrender to him, when I now don't get me wrong, I still prayed during this whole time. I still took her to a doctor. She even still took her medication, as a doctor prescribed. But it helped me to realize that ultimately God is fighting these battles for me. Before that point, I believe that motherhood was based on my own ability, my own knowledge, my own wisdom, because I had a bachelor's degree in psychology. I had a master's degree in child and adolescent psychology. So in my mind, I knew everything. But here in this situation, I realized that I did it, that God ultimately was in control. So just with that whole situation, that helped me to rise up and be a warrior for my children, not because of necessarily my own strength, but because I serve a God who is big, I serve a God who is powerful, I serve a God who goes before me, and he knows everything about myself and my children before I can even think of it. And so just in trusting in him, I'm able to be strong and courageous and know that he's got my back and he loves those babies. So I would say that's my long story of how I come to be a warrior mother today.
You have some action steps that you detail at the end of each chapter. What is the big takeaway? What do you think people, who will read this, what is it that they will take away?
Yeah, so my heart is that they would take away that ultimately God is with them, that they're not doing their parenting journey in a bubble, that he has their best interests in mind. And so at the end of each chapter, I want to encourage mom to read that victory verse that's at the end of each chapter so that they can dig into their word. I don't want to just tell them what God is saying or what the Bible says. I want them to dig into it for themselves so that they can have that relationship. And then I ask those reflection questions as well for them to start to have some self-reflection of what is God showing me through this journey and how can I be the mom that he's called me to be. And so I'm hoping that moms will understand that they don't have to be perfect, but they should be purposeful. They should be intentional and they should be prayerful. If we can do nothing else, we can definitely pray. And so I think if we can get an army of women to finally start praying for our children, the way God would have us to, I just really think that our parenting journey would be so much smoother and our own mental health would be better for us in the long run as well.
It's interesting that you mentioned mental health because there's so much focus on mental health. I believe it is Mental Health Awareness Month. May is, as we go into Mother's Day weekend, how important is mental health, especially for mothers?
Yeah, it's essential. There's even studies that have shown that if a mom is depressed and anxious during her pregnancy, that that baby will have more likely, they'll be more likely to develop depression and anxiety even into their childhood. And so even before that child is born, mental health matters. And so I think when mom kind of sets the temperature for the house. If mom is angry, if mom is agitated, if mom is unstable in some ways, the children directly are going to even start modeling that, or they're going to observe how they should interact with the world. So we really want to make sure we have ourselves in a position where we're okay with getting therapy if we need it, where we're okay to reaching out to spiritual leaders to pray for us, to walk us along side those hard mental things. Some of the mental issues that we face are really a result of some very traumatic situations that we weren't able to cope with at the time. But I just really feel like if we push mental health aside, we're doing a great disservice to ourselves and to our children. So it is useful to say, man, I've prayed about this 100 times. I feel like I've done a lot of practical things, but this just isn't budging. Could there be something more that's going on? And being willing to investigate that, maybe through a Christian counselor or a spiritual leader that can kind of walk you through and navigate those situations.
You have a chapter in the book called The Modeling the Faith. It's a challenging chapter, but it is a chapter that is very important. Explain why.
Yeah, so learning is actually 65% of what we see and 35% of what we hear. So that is a pretty big number. So when we think about our children, they're picking up on what to do, how to respond to people, how to respond to the church, how they feel about God directly from us, what they're seeing and what they're hearing. And so I think it's very important to take an inventory of, let's just say it like this. If my child was a mini me, how happy would I be? Would I be frustrated, overwhelmed, like, this isn't quite working out? Because chances are they already are a mini version of you. And so observation and modeling the faith is key. It is essential to be able to not just do church on Sunday morning and look all pretty for that and clap, but to also act like how God will have us to act even within our homes, so that one day they can grow up and say, man, like your daughter can grow up and say, man, my mom really loved the Lord. She really prayed. She really taught me how to trust God, even when situations were hard. Wouldn't that be a testimony if they said, I saw it in my home first? And so that's why I feel like modeling the faith is a key part of seeing our children come to know and love the Lord.
You brought up a good point about a testimony. There's no testimony without a test, and you have to channel how to turn your mess into your message. Most recently, I want to say within the last 24 hours, I was reading the Prayer of Protection, and I believe a line in there says, "Wherever I am, God is." When you hear that, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, I mean, it just reminds me of the many nights that I was crying over my daughter that I mentioned earlier. And just, man, I feel like I've done all that I can. I don't know what else I can do. But wherever I am, God is. So that means wherever she is, God is. I remember that day when I finally was like, okay, I'm going to drop her back off to school, as terrified as I am. Mind you, the school was literally 1 minute from my house. I could see her from my house, but I just remember that fear, and God just reminded me, do not fear, I will never leave you or forsake you. And even Psalm 139 just talks about like how God knows everything, that he's with me when I wake and he's with me when I lie down. And so it's just so important to have those Bible verses that you can lean on, so that you remind yourself that God, if God is with you, if all those promises in the Bible are for you, you better believe they're for your children too. And walk in that and stand in that and pray into that, knowing that God is with them. For me, that brings down my stress level a little bit, especially in today's day and age when so many things are happening in the schools, just to know that God is with them no matter where they are.
I pray with my daughter, for my daughter, and over covering my daughter daily. What scripture is it that you lean into as a mother?
Yeah,
I personally, like Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and live according to his purpose. But I'm curious to know what scripture you lean into.
Oh yeah, I love that verse too. It has so many intricacies. Those
Yes.
who love him, those who are called,
So
okay,
many
different
caveats.
categories. But I truly do love Psalm 139. That is my favorite chapter of the Bible because, especially now as a pregnant mom, that's where we find that verse, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So I just love that chapter because it starts off basically with saying, hey, God is with me when I go to sleep and when I wake up, like I can't escape him. And I believe that chapter also says, like, if I were to, I couldn't number the amount of thoughts that he has about me. They're more than the sands of the sea. Like, what? So for me as a mom, I'm like, you know, a lot of times you read the Bible from a personal, like, oh, God feels that about me. But I'm re starting to read the Bible like, he feels that about my children. He really loves them. I love them, but I don't think I could possibly think about them the amount of sand that's in the sea, like all over the world. I don't think it's possible, but he's always thinking about them. He knows my unborn child now by name. Before we came up with his name, he knew his name. He knows what he looks like, what he smells like, what his cry sounds like, what he's gonna be when he grows up. I don't know that, but he knows that. And so as a mom, that's encouraging to me. Like, wow, I have a God who really loves my kids and who has their best interest in mind. So if you haven't read Psalm 139, today's probably the day for
Today's a good day to read it. Yes,
that.
absolutely. You know, the good word is a faith-based podcast. We don't shy away from that. We are sitting square center at the intersection of faith and everything, faith and parenting, faith and love, faith and relationships, faith and entertainment. But what I like is that we have something for everyone. And the goal, of course, is to meet people where they are. And everybody is in a season. Everybody is on a journey. And so I have to ask you, what would be the good word? What is the message for people who are listening and watching right now?
Yeah, the good word for today is that God is with you and he will never leave you nor forsake you. Even when you feel like parenting is the most overwhelming thing you've ever experienced, and it will feel like that sometimes, know that God is with you. He will never leave you or forsake you or your children, and that you can trust him. That's the good word.
So tell us, Victoria, how can folks find you? How can they learn more about your book, learn more about what you're doing, follow along with you on your journey?
Yeah, I would love that. So what you could do is go to www.victoryspeaks.org. There you will find the links to my books as well as blogs and upcoming events that I'll be participating in. So definitely find me there. I would love to connect and answer any further questions that you may have and just come alongside you with prayer and belief that God can do anything in our homes and change our families.
And you also pastor a church with your husband, Enlightened Church, which is in Stafford, Virginia. And so, if folks want to check out that, where can they find information about that as well?
Yeah, so they can go to enlightenedchurch.org and they'll find out all about us every Sunday at 10 a.m. Hey, come actually see us in person. We will say give you a seat, but that's where they can find out about us.
Very good warrior mother, Victoria Riolano, pastor and author and mother of seven, soon to be eight. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And we appreciate you joining us on The Good Word.
Thanks, Tisha.